On the edge of doubt, I jump. Yo, sometimes I fantasize, imagine, and dream. Yo, terrific is the term I tag on the tight way. He totally touched this terrible terrestrial.
70 times 7!
Putting in me a passion to put away perversity and pick up praise for the Prince of Peace.
70 times 7!
Yo, I feel like I'm on the verge of a fantastic breakdown. Life, yo, is always better. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Yo.
70 times 7!
Hello, welcome to the Brain Mac the Poetry Podcast. My name is Jason Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm very excited to tell you that today continues for the third consecutive week, focusing on people who use their passions as their professions. And moving on from karate, we have arrived at the realm of art. And today, we're going to be featuring Wayne Brzezinka, who is an amazing artist. You can stick around and listen to part two of this podcast, and we'll get to hear the interview with him. And he has done a lot and is also a very good friend. So here is the poem I wrote in tribute to Wayne. It is called Only He Could. He didn't wait to be asked. He just did it. No one knew what was coming, but when he hit it, they recognized it for the home run it was. And he distinguished himself from one who could to one who does. A supermodel for assertiveness and enterprise. A gift for the soul, a delight to the eyes. All because he did what only he could do. Only he brought such a depth of richness to view. Now people are coming in day after day. They want what he does. They love his way. They love his work. Its comparison does not exist. It has a personality that will perpetually persist far beyond our lives. His art will remain. Through the ages, its echoes will explain the richness of a heart so few knew about. No one asked him, but everyone wanted for him to bring the inside out. Thanks so much for listening. Stick around and listen to part two for Wayne's interview. Thanks a lot. Welcome to the Bring Back the Poetry Podcast. My name is Jason Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining me. I am pleased to tell you that I'm sitting here with Wayne Brzezinka. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Jason.
Thanks so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
We're going to get right into it here. And if you guys don't know who Wayne Brzezinka is, I'm going to put a lot of links in the description for this podcast, and you can take a look at his work. He is nationally known for graphic design and collage and mixed media and assemblage. And I'm so glad that he is able to be with us as we talk about using our passions as our professions. That is exactly what Wayne does on a regular basis, every day actually. And he has been at this full time this time for about 8 years. And among his works, we're going to talk about five pieces with him. And the first one I want to talk about, Wayne, is your President Lincoln. It's not a painting. What do I call it?
It's not a painting. It is an assemblage piece, mixed media piece, you know, constructed out of many different found objects, mm-hmm. Civil War era pieces that were used to create the face of Lincoln.
Okay. When you made this picture, was it a commission or was it your own idea?
It was not a commission. It was just a passion that I had and a curiosity to, I wondered, could I actually do this? Number one, I'd never worked that large before. It's a 5 foot high piece by 4 feet wide. And so through the encouragement of some friends and in finding these various Civil War era related pieces, I just began walking in the dark and seeing what, you know, would come of it. And it came together, you know, quite simply, with a lot of work, obviously, but I was surprised at how it ended up, you know, looking mm-hmm. in the end. I was very pleased. So,
as well you should be. We all are pleased. As you finished it and you started to push it out there for both professional audiences and unprofessional audiences as well, what ended up happening with the picture? Where is it now?
It is currently hanging in Washington, D.C. at the Ford's, the historic Ford's Theater where Lincoln was assassinated.
Wow.
And it's been there, it'll be a year in May, on loan, and which still blows my mind. I mean, there's over 1 million people that go through that facility each year. So the fact that it's in, you know, in my mind, the perfect place for a Lincoln portrait, it just kind of blows my mind. So I'm very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Incredible. Now, has the Lincoln portrait led to other developments for you as a business, as a businessman and as an artist? For example, well, I know that there is a sketchy connection between Lincoln and your Zach Sobiech image. How do those two connect?
Yeah, there is a connection. The Lincoln portrait, obviously hanging in D.C., you know, has gotten some press and some publicity, so it's turned some heads more towards what I'm doing, I guess. And there's a young man named Zach Sobiech who a few years ago was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer, lived, born and raised in Minnesota, and who's now passed away. But his parents had contacted me upon seeing Lincoln, the portrait of Lincoln, and asked if I could and would be interested in creating a portrait of their son using his mementos and his, you know, pieces from his room, fan letters. He was also a musician, songwriter. So that's the connection between Lincoln, you know, and the Zach Sobiech image.
So wonderful. In terms of the spiritual nature of paper and items, would you say that there is kind of a mysterious connection between things and people and the things that people have touched as you work on these images? Do you feel like you're dealing with really special, powerful things? Does that come into play as you look for things to include in images?
It does. I mean, I think I've learned that it impacts the story to a degree of the power that, you know, is put in front of people by, you know, assembling and you know, putting these items, found items together, or items, for instance, from Zach, you know, Zach's parents that were really meaningful. One of them was a hospital bracelet, you know, when he was born, that was part of that box of items that was sent to me. So it assembling all of those pieces together to create a larger work certainly does invite the viewer in closer to look and find and see and discover things they may not have even noticed just upon seeing the face of the person.
Right. Thank you. As you were, another image I wanted to talk to you about was John Siegenthaler. And as you started, now, was the Siegenthaler, was that a commission or was that?
It was a commission for okay. Vanderbilt Magazine.
Yes. Good. As you were commissioned with that, I believe you were able to get in contact with some people that were close to Siegenthaler. You had a few unique items for his image as well.
I did, yeah. I actually was fortunate to be connected to Mr. Siegenthaler's secretary for, I think, the past eight or ten years. Excuse me. And she was very helpful in, and at that point, about a year ago, she was cleaning out his office after he had passed away, and was specifically looking for anything that, you know, might be of interest that I might use to assemble the portrait. And so, you know, about a week or two after I had asked her and engaged her, she provided a box of, you know, a pair of his glasses that he had worn, and wow. A necktie she found in his office that she had claimed that he had worn a couple of times. He had several of them in his office. You know, he was very instrumental in starting the USA Today newspaper. So she had an original 1982, which I think was the first year that the USA paper came out. So she gave me that. You know, it's just many helpful items.
Very good. As you have made all these images, one striking similarity that I see is that the images that you have made are based on people's likenesses that you have never met. Have you ever been able to make an image for somebody that you have met before?
That is a really good question. Well, you know, I don't think so. I mean, I'm kind of in a portrait phase where I'm really drawn to the face, you know, people's faces. And,
right.
Zach, I think, Sobiech, that image, although he, you know, never saw it, that was probably the closest I've come to an image for, you know, in that case, the family. But
right.
But no, I don't think at this point, and I may, you know, think after we're done that I, you know, I've missed this, but I don't think I have.
Okay. That's really interesting. Because with Zach, you were commissioned by his mother, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, by Laura Sobiech.
Yeah. It's incredible. As you have matured as an artist and as you have become more solid in your craft, have you found opportunities to pass the art on to others in a teaching role?
Yes. And it's funny you asked that. Friday of this, 2 days ago, I was invited to speak at Watkins College of Art to their illustration class. And something I always enjoy, you know, just giving back and sharing openly and honestly with young students about the path of, you know, art and illustration and making a living. And in addition to that, you know, I've started to teach workshops. You know, last year was my first year of teaching 6 or 7 workshops on what I do, just to beginners. And it's wonderful. I mean, I absolutely love doing that and you know, inspiring others to yeah. Open up and create a relaxed and a safe environment for people to enjoy, you know, working on their art. So, yeah.
Very good. Before we get to the very last thing, I wanted to ask you about this other piece that you were commissioned to do. A lady came to you, and she was the publisher of a dream journal.
Yes. The Dream Arts Journal, which is a new publication that she started coming up on, I guess, a year. It's March, so that was maybe a little over a year ago,
yeah.
Her first issue. But it's all about the dream life and visual artists and writers and the interpretation of dreams and the power that the dream has in our life. And so she had asked and engaged me to do the cover of the first issue. And
wow.
Suggested that maybe I entertain, you know, working out one of my own dreams for that cover. And initially I wasn't that interested in doing that. I thought, you know, dreams are really quirky and weird, and anything pops up in a dream that is just the wackiest, which enables an artist to kind of go in any direction they want. So that was where my head was, but I just had this little voice and inkling that I should listen to and engage my own nightmare as a child, which was,
yeah.
you know, being chased through a forest by men in wolf masks. You know, it was a quite terrifying dream when I was 7 or 8 years old. And so thus began the process of the sketch. You know, the initial sketch was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, because initially, I mean, I'm resurrecting this memory that I had as a child, which was not a good memory.
Yeah.
and bringing it, you know, in essence, back to life, which is a big undertaking. And so, again, through the help of some friends and trusted, you know, people, of presenting that sketch to them and asking for their, you know, feedback, fear of what people might think. I mean, the man in the background of the image, you know, is obviously, he's in his underwear if you see the image. But so I was very scared of what people might think and how they might interpret and what they might interpret or think of me or whatever. And their reassurance, you know, was, no, it absolutely needs to be, everything needs to be the way it is, you know, it needs to push the envelope. And so,
were you able to use any significant items, paper or fabric in that image?
Nothing significant, maybe. And that image was really interesting, you know, the way that it came together. Mm-hmm. I was nervous about it, and there was a lot of angst. I journaled while I was doing it. It's based on my own abuse as a child, so there's a lot of, you know, hidden pain and emotion in that part of my story, but also having never done that in art, so it really brought up a lot of emotion. So, but I found that the more I engaged the image and the tactile, you know, feel of all the rope and the things that I was using, it just kind of came together real easily and flowed really nicely. And I was very pleased with the way that it came to be. And then a friend of mine, I had asked Anthony Bozier, who's a wonderful photographer in town, to actually, because it's, again, it's a large piece. It's 5 feet by 4 feet, but it's a an installation piece. So it actually not only is 5 feet by 4 feet, but it's,
it comes out
like 36 to 40 inches deep. So it comes out, you know, and sets on the floor. So he lit it beautifully and photographed it, you know, just perfectly in the end.
Well, thank you. Before we close out here, I wanted to ask you about the Bob Dylan picture that I see over here. Was that commissioned?
It was not. Dylan was not commissioned. And, you know, the funny thing is, what I'm learning is that sometimes, not all the time, but pieces that aren't commissioned, you know, in any artist's, you know, category of body of work, that they oftentimes end up being the pieces that turn heads more than commissioned pieces, because there's more passion and there's more, you know, gusto in actually bringing them to life. So that was the case with Dylan. I mean, I just love his, he's just blows my mind with his writing and just, you know, the greatest American songwriter, you know, ever in my mind. And so listening to his music and reading his biography and just diving into his world, learning about his journey from Minnesota to Greenwich Village to Nashville, you know, a lot of people don't realize he made, you know, three of his best-selling albums, records here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow.
Which was, you know, Blonde on Blonde, which kind of turned a lot of heads. The Beatles were inspired by Bob Dylan, which I learned. I didn't realize that, but they were looking to Dylan.
Wow.
Another album, John Wesley Harding, and then Nashville Skyline were all recorded here. And so, that was my own choice to do that portrait.
Very good. As you have endeavored to do these portraits, and just to go back to the dream image that we were talking about a second ago, I wanted to ask you about people's reactions, especially even Tennessee Crossroads, of all things. They came to do a feature on you, which is online. We can check that out too. But were you kind of surprised how drawn they were to the dream image as well?
I was. I mean, it really kind of took me back. They actually came to my studio first to film a bit of the segment, you know, of me working. And then we traveled to Franklin, where the exhibit was hanging. I, at that time, had a solo exhibition at Omar College. And so they drove there, and we filmed the rest of the segment there. But what I found most interesting is that I thought that image was very dark. It is dark and kind of mysterious that they wouldn't be drawn to that. And they kept going back to that. They kept pushing me on questions and bringing that back up. And And so I just kind of went with it and just obviously was a little bit nervous, you know, as to how it would play itself out. But but they had said, you know, in the end, when they finished editing the piece and putting it together, that that particular segment, and of course, Zach Sobiech's portrait is a part of this Tennessee Crossroads as well, but that's a segment they've talked more about in their internal office at NPT than any other, you know, piece they've done in the last 20 years they've been on the air. He said he couldn't remember how much dialogue the, you know, peers and coworkers had about that particular segment, which was, it kind of blew my mind, really.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. If we want to find your work, where is it online?
You can, of course, I'm all on the social media sites of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, the different, similar but different handles. But my main webpage is BrzinkaDesign.com.
Okay.
And all of the links are there. So.
Okay. And if we want to sit at your feet and learn your craft, if you want to come to one of these Brzinka for Beginners classes, is there information for that as well?
That gets posted, you know, a month or two prior to me offering the class. So right now, I mean, I posted and I'm offering my first kids class.
Kids class.
To teach children from 7 to 12. But
okay.
And there's not been, there's been a lot of interest with that in terms of questions over the last 2 years. When are you going to offer one for kids? And
yeah.
But nobody has responded. So it's really interesting. I don't know if it'll happen. You
okay.
know, I hope it does. But
okay. If you're listening to this and you have a little one that you think would benefit from this, please talk to Wayne. Holler at him. Anything else?
That's it. I'm just enjoying this beautiful day, this sunny blue
Absolutely.
Sky. So thank
Absolutely.
You, Jason.
Thank you so much.